Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tapakshau Chamdaya Satyam. Iti pada krite krita. Adharma shaistrayo bhagnam. Smaya sangha madaistava. Translation: in the age of Satya, or truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The deluding energy or material nature can act upon the living beings proportionately in terms of the living beings falling prey to the deluding attraction of Maya. Moths are captivated by the glaring brightness of light and thus they become prey to the fire. Similarly, the deluding energy is always captivating the conditioned souls to become prey to the fire of delusion, and the Vedic scriptures warn the conditioned souls not to become prey to delusion, but to get out of it, to get rid of it. The Vedas warn us to go not to darkness of ignorance, but to the progressive path of light. The Lord himself also warns that the deluding power of the material energy is too powerful to overcome. But one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. But to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is also not very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. These four principles of advanced civilization were remarkable features in the age of Satya. In that age, every human being was practically a qualified Brahmana of the highest order. And in the social orders of life, they were all Paramahamsas, or the topmost of all renounced order. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women, and intoxication, the path of salvation, or the path of transcendental bliss, retreated far, far away from human society. With the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men, and the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, and chewing tobacco, etc. All these habits, or so-called advancement of civilization, are the root causes of all irreligiosities, and therefore it's not possible to check corruption, bribery, and nepotism. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance. But he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahminical culture, or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Modern civilization and economic development are creating a new situation of poverty and scarcity, with the result of blackmailing the consumers' commodities. If the leaders and the rich men of the society spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in its attempt to entrap the conditioned souls. We must always remember that false pride or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, undue attachment to women and association with them, and intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace, however much the people clamor for peace in the world. The preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean both inside and out, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. Important verse. Some people ask, is there a scriptural reference for our four regular principles, or something that Prabhupada kind of like made up? Well, he didn't kind of like make it up. It's directly in this verse, in the section in general, but specifically also in this verse. These four principles that he set as a minimum standard for practicing devotees. They're principles of Brahminical culture, as being indicated in the verse. And this whole number of sections in this first canto, the emphasis on preserving and respecting Brahminical culture, the special importance given by the Bhagavatam, given by Vedic culture in propagating, honoring, preserving, respecting Brahminical culture. The Brahminical culture goes hand in hand with Vaishnavism, as Prabhupada is indicating very nicely in the purport. The principle of taking shelter of the personality of Godhead will automatically ensure that good qualities are exhibited. These are good qualities. But it's difficult. Difficult anyway, because we're rebellious. We're in the material world because we're rebellious towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Raga Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohina Bharata. It's why we're here. We're rebellious. And so the antidote to rebelliousness is surrender. Well, it's difficult to surrender when these four principles are not observed. And so they're the principles that the age of Kali promotes. Perhaps you're familiar with a drama that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about the age of Kali. Familiar with that? He wrote a drama. Prabhupada is historically one of the earlier disciples of Srila Prabhupada, was an English professor. Hayagriva was his name, his initiated name, at Ohio State University. So Prabhupada was giving this, recorded and transcribed. Prabhupada was teaching him, Hayagriva, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur established the drama, and he was explaining in detail how he wanted the drama to be performed by his followers, ISKCON devotees. And there's act one, scene one, and the whole deal. Prabhupada described it. So the opening scene is Kali, two personalities on stage, Kali and Sin. And Kali is, ha ha, this is my age, I'll make the minds of people spin. And Sin is going, yeah, and I'll help you. And so he then instructs her, you inflict them this way, you inflict them that way. So by breaking these principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy. This is the first line. Break them, and then Kali can have full reign. It's his. That's what he does to rule. I mean, it's the opposite of what a king does. It's what Kali does, the opposite. Break the spirit of the people in austerity and cleanliness and mercy. Then he describes the specific ways in which sin is supposed to inflict people by corrupting their standard of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And it works. And that way, Kali can rule. So, we'll take a look at how it works, and then the opposite is if to diminish the influence of the age of Kali strategically is to increase those things that sin is trying to break. That's not enough. It's like making wet wood dry wood so it can ignite. The real thing is igniting, and so ultimately the real thing is taking shelter of Krishna. That's the purpose of all of those regulations, like the discussion yesterday evening about Varnashram, that the followers of Ramchandra followed their proper Varna and Ashram. And one who doesn't, their ability to follow Ram is inhibited, if not broken. And similarly, in the age of Kali, people that are unable to follow these core standards, it makes their taking shelter of the personality Godhead very compromised. And really, the way to, if there is some obstacle in curtailing a particular principle, one of the four regular principles, ultimately it's the shelter of the personality of Godhead. There are many other things that can help, but without the shelter of the personality of Godhead, it's not possible. This is just, it's like not possible. It's not possible. It's not sustainable. That is, you know, by Bhagavad principle and Bhagavad Gita principle, there are stored impressions due to past sinful activities for which one then has a strong predilection or affinity for matter of a particular kind, you know, like an addiction, sex addiction, drug addiction, anger, and, you know, other ills. I don't know if you have this system in India, but it's a common system in the West where people that have these different types of addictions, they have a system, they have different names for those systems, the 10-step system to overcome alcohol addiction or drug addiction or this addiction, that addiction. But it doesn't work without one of those 10 steps is God, like in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. It doesn't work. Doesn't work because even if one tries, that impression is still there. The force of material nature is pushing, and we know how it works. The modes are competing for supremacy, and then one succumbs. The tendency prevails. They call it a relapse. Gambling addiction. There's so many. I know families, nice devotee families. You know, the rest of the world doesn't know, but because that's how it is these days. Not just these days. You don't let people know that you're struggling with something. You just struggle with something. And, you know, somebody has this addiction problem. Anyway, The Bhagavatam says it's two things at the same time. The Bhagavatam is propounding or propagating that ultimately shelter in the personality of Godhead can cure one of all vices and maladies. That's one step, not 10 steps. Just take shelter of the personality of Godhead. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yasham. So just one. But I'll just read the sentence. Well, where is it? To surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord himself, this is about a third of the way down with the purport. The Lord himself warns that the deluding power of material energy is too powerful to overcome, but one who completely surrenders unto the Lord can easily do so. So the one-step method. And then Prabhupada writes, but to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is not also very easy. Such surrender is possible by persons of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So, that's the other. There are these four principles. The four principles assist one in the process of surrender. I mean, this leads to this. This helps this. When bhakti is independent, bhakti isn't dependent. As Krishna is independent, bhakti is independent. Bhakti doesn't depend on those things, which means, you know, Magari or Giant Vijay, or Jagai and Madhai. Any sinful person can come to the position of pure devotion by the mercy of a devotee and taking shelter of that mercy. That's sufficient. At the same time, these four enhance the ability to surrender. That is to say, if one is addicted to or overly fond of or overly influenced by any one of these four and their subdivisions, the surrender is going to be intermittent. At best. So the Brahminical culture enhances the position of surrender to the personality of Godhead. Surrender under the personality of Godhead is independent. This is the spiritual strength, this is the mode of goodness assist the Brahminical culture part. So I hope that's clear. Austerity, just to see the connection between what promotes austerity and in this drama of the personality of Kali and the personality of sin, in order to break austerity, the encouragement to break austerity is pride. Just think for a moment about because this is the month of Damodar, the pastime of the event of Narada coming to visit Kuvera and seeing the two sons of Kuvera in this disgraceful, despicable condition of standing naked, etc., etc., etc. So he understood why they were able to do like that. They were intoxicated, literally, but also
It's awful. I mean, even to recount these examples. Just cruel. Just cruel. Mercy is gone. This is now specifically with to destroy mercy, animal slaughter. I'll just tell one other one. We had this preaching center in one city in the northeast of the United States, a city called Providence, capital of Rhode Island. We had near the University of Rhode Island. And right next to the preaching center was a church. And the church had a fence around it. The reason they had a fence around it is because one of their big festivals, it's really awful, they would take a big fat pig, grease up the big fat pig, and then chase the big fat pig around so they could capture the pig and chop the pig, and then roast the pig and have a pig feast. That was like their big festival of the year. How disgusting. And everyone would, you know, get drunk and go chase the pig and chop the pig. And so, you know, different cultures have their different ways of doing these absence of mercy in the name of a religious festival. How awful. So, and so many, 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 besides, you know, the religious version of the, you know, just the common everyday version of cruelty, the higher quality is mercy. So, to promote that quality of mercy, we have this restriction, no intoxication. Intoxication, one loses mercy. You just do wild things, hit somebody or get hit, and you don't even feel anything, and there's no feelings, you're just numb. Intoxication and animal slaughter curtail mercy. When mercy is curtailed, people can do anything to another person and they don't even think about it. It's just the way of life. That's the age of Kali. So the antidote for the age of Kali is to restrict these things to enhance our ability to take shelter of the holy name. Not do those things and take shelter of the holy name. So that's how the regular principles work. The quality of cleanliness, it's a brahminical quality, it's cleanliness. If you're the personality of Kali and you want to destroy the quality of cleanliness, then free intermingling between men and women, or those things that promote the free intermingling between men and women. What Prabhupada refers to here is women, of course men can do similar, but women dressing in an overly attractive fashion to bewilder the minds of men. What's going to be the result? They'll become predators. So there may be, as a class, many, 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 many innocent women, but because women allow themselves to be, you know, to receive money, to be models or, you know, marketing pictures, to market whatever, anything, by a half-clothed woman to sell toothpaste or, you know, furniture or whatever. It people pay attention, and then so they look at the product and they go and buy the product. Marketing. Anyway, so by those things that intervene or contravene the respectful position of dealings between men and women, cultured as, see, a learned person, Prabhupada would quote this so often, matravat para dareshu, a cultured person, a person, a symptom of knowledge, this is Brahminical culture, as one who sees all other women besides one's wife as mother. And, of course, part of that is to respect mother, not mother as an object of potential sense gratification for unrestricted enjoyment. So, if one wants to decrease cleanliness, there's how you do it. And maybe because you live in India, you don't notice it so much. You're kind of like numb to it. But the lack of cleanliness all over the place, on the streets and public places, just like people trash stuff all the time, left and right. It's just like, it's so blatant. Where's that coming from? The answer is this unrestricted association between men and women, without detailing all of that. That's the way of breaking cleanliness and a way of enhancing that natural quality of cleanliness is not fanaticism, but proper regard. Restricting of association between men and women in a proper manner, not in a disrespectful, looking down upon one or another, but respectful dealings between men and women. Very important. So, mercy, cleanliness, and this point of austerity. We have our, less like in our Hare Krishna movement, this is the month of Kartik, and it's recommended. I don't know how many of you have done so, but a Kartik Vrata. Those that do it and stay with it understand it's elevating. It doesn't have to be something that hurts, just something that you do because you know it's good, and then you do it as a vrata. Some simple thing. It's elevating. It's a natural, it's a Vaishnava principle described directly in Bhagavad Gita that elevates consciousness. It elevates consciousness above the tendency, the absence of austerity, there's this tendency for pride. I know a devotee that's in Vrindavan for the month of Kartik, and their vrata is 64 rounds every day. And there's lots of people that live in Vrindavan that do that regularly. But, you know, this is a Kartik vrata. And, of course, we're not used to that. You know, one day, 64 rounds, that's like, wow. But then 1 month in Vrindavan during the month of Kartik, there's a lot of purification. And one of their realizations is they're just getting humbled and humbled and humbled and humbled. It hurts. Actually, it feels good, but the attachment part, it hurts. Without all the descriptions of the realizations of one's tininess and rebelliousness and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very humbling. So accepting doesn't have to be something extreme. It can be something very simple. But austerity reduces pride. And when there's pride, like making this reference, to Narada analyzing Nalakovera and Manigriva, they can do any hurtful thing. And because of pride, not even think about it. Not have even the slightest thought about it. Cruelty, no problem. And this is the age of Kali. So the situation of the verse is Maharishi Parikshit is confronting the personality of Kali, who's breaking well, has already broken with his club the first three of the four legs of Dharma. And only one is remaining, and he's working on that one too. And that's the principle of truthfulness. So truthfulness is corrupted by lies or by false propaganda or not adhering to the truth. One of the manifestations of truth is you keep your word. When you give your word, you keep your word. It's a very nice analysis of this in the Bali Maharaj and Vamana Dev. At the end of that Leela, Vamana speaks about Bali in the inner assembly. Here he is tied up like a common criminal after having surrendered everything to the personality of Godhead. And he's treated in this way that people are standing around saying, well, that's not fair. He surrendered everything. Why is he getting treated this way? And Lord Vamana says, I just wanted to show the world what is the quality of Bali Maharaj. And it's something similar to the verse where Bhishma Dev is speaking about the Pandavas having to endure tribulations, that an ordinary person would die if they had to experience what the Pandavas experienced. Similarly, Lord Vamana says about Bali, the opposition, Prabhupada's common phrase is reversals. You know, everything should be going very nicely. We have this. We all have this. We're you know, doing what we should do, and all these like challenging things come, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse, and there's 10 times worse, and you know that one. So Bali didn't deviate. This is Vamana's glorification. He gave his word. He kept his word. Even because, like, specifically the word was 3 paces of land. So with 2 paces of 2 steps, everything that's in the category of land was gone. You know, the 3rd step went on his head, but that's not land. So for that, he was tied up. You gave a promise. You're a king. You violated your promise. You should be punished. See, he didn't deviate from his word, from truth. Specifically, it says. And for this, he should be honored all over the 3 worlds. I personally honor such a person who never deviates from their word. I will become the gatekeeper. I'll stand at the gate and protect him and not let anybody that could bring harm to Bali. I'll personally protect him. Just from that principle of upholding your word, or you speak some utterance and you abide by it. Very important. Very important. What's the use of speaking something and you don't do that something? I make a commitment to you and then you don't fulfill that commitment. It's useless. When I was a very new devotee, there was this thing that Prabhupada had said, or at least it was said that Prabhupada said it, and just kept hearing it over and over, that a man is only as good as his word. That's one manifestation of truth. Of course, there's so many other manifestations of truth. And the false propaganda is its opposite. And in this world, I mean, this is the age of Kali, and so godlessness is rampant. Even for people that profess God, scratch the surface a little bit and there's godlessness. Generally, there's exception. Generally, it's godlessness. It's, you know, values without God. character development without God. Compassion without God. And so you scratch the surface and there's no God, and then what that compassion is actually violence. Without detailing it. Prabhupada speaks like that in Bhagavad Gita. Real nonviolence is protecting people from that tendency to be godless. Because the tendency to be godless keeps one in the material world. So one's going to have to suffer. So real compassion is relieving people of that tendency for aversion to surrender to God. Like really, really explicit. Now, one may have to have a strategy how to do that. But that's the standard. And without that standard, it's more godlessness. You know, it's spirituality, quote, in the age of Kali, godless civilization. The Bhagavatam is a direct confrontation to that. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Like a declaration. This Srimad Bhagavatam is challenging, is annihilating. It's a war on Maya. Declare war on Maya. Taking shelter of the personality of God. So no, taking shelter of the personality of God with the assistance, not with the neglect of, these four principles. So again, we'll end. They are tapa, shocham, daya, and satyam. Kali's wish is to break them. Our wish is to restore them for the purpose of assisting persons to take shelter of Krishna. So we'll stop there and see if there's some discussion. See if we can end at 7:30 in time for the deity greeting.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In India, we find a lot of, you know, uncleanliness.
Yes, a lot of uncleanliness.
And but to some extent, Indian people are quite religious.
They're religious.
You know, they take the vows even in marriage. They take the vows much better than, you know, in West. In the West, we find that people break these regulative principles left and right, but we find it is quite, you know, quite nice and clean. The roads and other places are nice and clean. So, how do we see this in a spiritual point of view? How do we see this?
Well, it's a mundane morality. It's a mundane value, and because you know it's based in selfishness. We like to see like this, and if it's not clean, then it's unsanitary, and it breeds disease, and we don't like disease, so we're, you know, fighting disease, so we want cleanliness. You know, it's just a mundane sensibility. Practically, it's more mode of goodness than the uncleanliness. It's not based on religion, but it's based on, you know, self-interest. And to the degree that I've thought this question you're asking many times, the opulence, this is how Prabhupada would describe, the opulence of the West, to whatever degree there's today opulence, it's the fruit of past piety. So, although their lifestyle now is degraded, but that's partly the result of pride in the heart that comes from the fruits of piety. Now they misuse that fruit of that piety, but they value, you know, good health and good looks and so, etc. So cleanliness and other types of things, sanitation. You know, India's sanitation system is... So, it's more clinical than it is religious-based. But that situation is the upholding of that opulence, the protecting and preserving that position of opulence in a godless way. Over time, all of that is being eroded, and, you know, will continue to degenerate, and those persons who live that licentious fashion will go down. Their opulence from their, you know, diminishing or depleting of their pious assets will go down, and they'll be in another situation. Lord Jagannath is more merciful than Lord Krishna.
More merciful, because he is merciful also to the fish eaters. I've heard. Would you tell more on that, Maharaj?
Well, the way that you're speaking is not something that I would agree with. The premise is not something that I would agree with.
I'm very sorry, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell, but that's okay. You're asking the question, so I'll respond to the premise. Because the dilemma is due to a false premise.
Put
the microphone down. It's not that in Jagannath Puri or worshippers of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra that they can offer such things as fish to them and they will accept because they're very merciful. Not so. Now, persons who may be eaters of those things, at the same time they have great affinity for Lord Jagannath, that may be so. Or in West Bengal, you know, there are strong Kali worshippers and Durga worshippers and so forth and so on. Lord Chaitanya appeared there to relieve them of their sins. And he overlooked their sinfulness and still invited their surrender to him. So that's that munificence or mercy feature is there in Lord Chaitanya. More accurate is they're merciful in their freely giving their merciful form in Jagannath Puri and in, you know, wherever Lord Chaitanya may be worshipped in the world. And in the deity worship, the standards are much more significant, restriction-wise or offense-wise, with worship of Radha Krishna than worship of the other forms of the deities. Now that's scripturally supportable statement. It is not connected with, you know, fish eating. Lord Jagannath accepts fish eaters. Krishna accepts all varieties of living entities. Is that all right? Something else? We're at 7:30. So we'll go down and greet the deities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.